I would like to thank you for joining us in this way through this technology. I am sorry that we cannot meet together. But until this virus subsides and Governor Cooper raises the executive order, we are left to these means to worship and to maintain some level of fellowship together. This is unprecedented times we find ourselves. We are in uncharted waters, as one of our elders put it to me earlier this week. There are those, however, in our congregation who have experienced something similar to this. During the polio outbreak of the late 40s and early 50s, this kind of quarantining was seen. But for most, this is a first time through something like this. But for all of us, this is a most significant event. And as I've said and many have said, we do not face this time with a spirit of fear. We will stand strong in the sovereign, complete care of our Lord, and we will move through this following the wisdom our Lord has given us. Our desire here is to record an abbreviated worship time using prayer, scripture readings, and of course the sermon. And we will do this each week and provide the material through our website. I'll give that to you later. And for those who do not have internet access, we will provide that through other means. I would like to thank Doug Ryder for being here with me this evening and doing the technical stuff up there to record this. As I said, we spoke of being in uncharted waters and unprecedented times. Well, that can be only underscored by what I am looking at right now. And that is me preaching to an empty sanctuary, except for Doug up there in the sound booth. So I would ask that you please pray for us. Through the phone tree, we will continue to provide daily scripture readings. I hope they are beneficial for you. And we will continue to broadcast cancellations and rescheduling the announcements as they are needed. But for the time being, the session has determined to make this call a week-to-week type of thing. And so from now to this point, or from this point on, we are basically shut down through and including Friday, March 27th. No new Sterling scheduled event should take place here on site or off. As I said, these are uncharted waters, unprecedented times, and we are somewhat fearful, somewhat anxious, concerned about many things. And so it is in times like this we turn our hearts toward the worship, toward scripture readings, and toward prayer. And so I'd like to do that at this time. And so I call on you as I do each and every Sunday. Let's now turn our hearts toward worship. I'd like to begin our time with scripture reading. If you have your Bibles before you, turn with me in the Old Testament to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I will be sharing with you verses 1 through 12. Brief background here, Jehoshaphat has been reforming Judah. He has now come to pray before the Lord and ask for his blessing in that work that they have been doing. So hear the word of the Lord, 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 12. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom and from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar," that is in Jedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah assembled to seek the help from the Lord. From the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So I call on us to be as Jehoshaphat called on these before him. O our God, will you not execute judgment? For we are powerless against this great disease before us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Then if you would please join me in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Paul writes, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I pray that we would take these words to mind as well, and that while we are in times that we don't understand, let us be clear and understand this one thing. Paul writes in verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not just saved, but given an eternal home in heaven. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us now turn our attention to a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come once again in a time of worship. And this being a very different experience of worship, we as a body of Christ here at New Sterling are scattered all across this community. But yet our hearts and our minds are gathered together in this time of faith, in this time of worship, in this time of recognizing you being our God. And we look upon you in all times, Lord, but here in these times of trial and unknowing, we do look more strongly to you for the strength that you give us. So, Father, I pray that you are pleased with what we bring together, even through this medium of technology, gathering God's people together in a time of worship. And, Father, as we continue to pray, let us turn our attention to times of confession. Hear us as we continue to pray, Lord. Be merciful to me, a sinner. This I am by nature and practice. This thy word proclaims me to be. This I hope I feel myself to be. Yet thou hast not left me to despair, for there is no peradventure in your grace. I have all the assurance I need that with you it is plenteous and in your redemption vast. In spite of the number and the heinousness of my sins, thou hast given me a token for good. The golden scepter has held out, and thou hast said to me, touch it and live. May I encourage myself by a sense of your all-sufficiency, by faith in your promises, by views of the experience of others in your faith. To that dear refuge in which so many have sheltered from every storm, may I find shelter. In that fountain always freely open for sin, may I be cleansed from every defilement. Sin is that abominable thing which thy soul hates, and this alone separates you and me. You cannot contradict the essential perfection of your nature. You cannot make me happy with thyself till thou hast made me holy like yourself. O holy God, make me such a creature as thou canst take pleasure in, and such a being that I can take pleasure in you. May I consent to and delight in your law after the inner man. Never complain over the strictness of your demands, but mourn over my want of conformity to them. Never question your commandments, but esteem them to be right. By thy Spirit within me, may my practice spring from principle and my dispositions be conformable with your duty. Father, lead me in this your way. And Father, we continue in this most important time of prayer. Now we turn our attention to intercession on behalf of your church. Father, as I look across this list of individuals we have on a prayer list that we've had from week to week, we lift these up to you, Lord, and pray your special tender mercies upon them in whatever case and whatever condition they might find themselves. Just a few names I mentioned here, Pat and Harold Sherrill. For Bud Nash, Lord, in his weakness, strengthen. And for Kay Flowers and for Miss Madeline McNeely. Father, we do pray for Madeline that you would lead the doctors and technicians to find that which ails her. And for Miss Betty, Lord, Miss Betty Godfrey, thank you for the treatment she is now receiving. And Lord, lead her to healing. Thank you, Father, for the good report I got from Dick and Sally Higby today that they are doing well. And for our sister Kathy Stewart, who has begun her cancer treatments, Father, this is going to be long and torturous through that process, but Lord, lead her to healing. Father, we lift up to you, Father, Dee Reese's father, Cicero Crump, Kim Brady's sister, Jan, and Father Mark, for Sherry Clark's sister-in-law, Lisa. And Father, we have one that we've added here, and it is for myself and Judy. It is our sister-in-law, Janice, who has been diagnosed with breast cancer. Father, we turn our attention to our shut-ins. This is a most serious time for our shut-ins. Even now, they are confined to their facilities, many of them confined to their rooms, and their nearest family cannot even attend and visit them. And so, Father, you visit them. You bring your comfort and healing to them. Give them peace in these trying days. And for the Sam Cotton family, I spoke to Sam today, who has been in Wales in theological training. And because of the ban on training, he was brought home early. And so he is home, thankfully. But he finds himself in 14 days of confinement and quarantine because of his travels. Lord, be with his family during this time of separation. And for Andrea and Charlie, as they service in the armed services, Lord, bless them and keep them in peace. Especially for Andrea, as she is in training in the Navy to provide triage care in the emergency room. And so, Father, we do pray for her services, helping others, but also her protection from any ill toward her. And, Father, we pray for this church. As I've said, this is a very challenging, difficult time for the church, not just New Sterling, but all in the United States, if not around the world. But Father, lead us as leaders to continue to reach out to the church, because the church is not this building. The church is the people. And so let us continue to hold the people close, to continue fellowship in any way that we can, through cards and letters, phone calls, and phone messages through the phone tree. But Father, let's not live our lives in fear, but let us come together strongly, proclaiming the name of Christ through this very trying time. And for our nation and the world, Lord, a very challenging time. The stock market up and down, mostly down. The news from the media overwhelming and sometimes exaggerating. But Father, even through those who provide us information, some of it is not complete, it's contradicting. It's sparse, but Father, we find ourselves in such a trying time. And so we pray for our national leaders, our local leaders, for President Trump and Vice President Pence and the cabinet and the courts and the Congress, Lord, we pray that they would come together and unite. And I read a little bit of that today, Lord. Thank you that they're coming from both sides of the aisle to provide a united front in some ways to lead us through this most significant event in our history. And around the world, Lord, the stories are not yet good of a virus subsiding. So we pray, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would provide during this most difficult time. Father, in all these things, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, as we continue on, I'd like to ask you to join me once again in Scripture. If you have the holy text there before you, I'd like to ask you to join me in James chapter 1. Now, you may be thinking it was not too many years ago that we went to the book of James and did a lengthy study through it. And that is true, about 8 years ago. But I am, during this period of time, going to suspend our teaching from the book of Luke and go to the book of James, and for two particular reasons. One, James is a pastor. He has pastoral counsel through these short chapters. And we need that pastoral counseling, that pastoral teaching through this time. And the context of which James is speaking. The people of Jerusalem have been dispersed through the countryside after the stoning of Stephen, so they are facing some dire trials. They're facing very dire times. Many of us are facing many, many trials, dire times in what we find ourselves in today. So, once again, I bring you the book of James, a little different context than what we've heard it 8 years ago, but I do bring you these comforting words from the Apostle James. Hear the infallible, inspired, inerrant word of the living God, James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And I do pray the Lord's blessing on the reading of His most holy word. As I've said repeatedly, we face uncertain times. The virus that is among us and the hysteria that it has caused has left us, many of us, saying we just don't know what to do, much like those in Judah of Jehoshaphat's time. But we do know some of what we should be doing, and we will follow our civic leaders and their guidance for our community. We will follow the medical instructions to prevent further spread. These are very practical, easy things to do. They may put us out of our routines, they may cause some anxieties, but we can do these things. While these are very practical things we should do, I'd like to ask a much deeper question. Because we must also look at this from a very spiritual perspective. And so I ask a deeper question than just these practical good things to do. And here's the question. During these trying times, What should be our attitude toward them? How are we to face these times? With the fear and the wringing of the hands, the pacing the aisles? Or should we face these times with a calm spirit, revealing the hope and security we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember Jesus' words from Matthew 28. He said, "I will be with you even to the end of the age." And so we can take this as fact that through His Holy Spirit, Jesus is with us through this age. And He will be with us through the end of the age. And so looking at James's teaching, he begins, "Consider it all joy." Now, you know me, I like to define words to make sure we're on the same page. So this word "consider," it means to think or to regard something. It means to weigh and compare facts. To consider something means to use a deliberate and careful judgment gained from information and experience. It means to not act on feelings, or in our case, some exaggerations. Now, we are not to totally rule out our emotions. They are inevitable when we encounter severe trials like this. When we face these significant issues, our emotions are brought to a fever pitch. But when those emotions have waned, we must face the trials before us from a biblical perspective. And so we are to consider the things about us wisely, not given to exaggeration, not given to a cavalier attitude, but given to a biblical teaching of how we should face these things. Consider these things. So let's begin there. Consider that the trial that we face is not a surprise. Now, the particular type of trial, the particular type of affliction, this virus certainly has caused us to take a step back and say, I didn't see that coming. But that trials come should never surprise the Christian. That trials come should never surprise the Christian. James does not say if. He does not say if you encounter various trials, but he says when. It's not an elective. It's a required course. And I'd like to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 4, a text that I've seen used many times over the last couple of days from different speakers and preachers, Bible study teachers. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, though something strange were happening to you." Well, please know, while we don't understand much of this, this is not a strange thing that has come upon us, but it is something that is of God, and I'll explain that in just a moment. The Bible teaches us repeatedly that all of God's saints will face trials. And these trials are not necessarily the consequence of disobedience or of our sin. Rather, they are God using them to test and strengthen our faith, to mature us. And these trials can be wide-ranging according to His sovereign purpose. We cannot understand why He allows particular trials, but whatever they are, we can know that they are from Him. And also know this: the attitude that we are speaking of is not natural to the outside world. This kind of attitude is not natural to the pagan world. We, Christians, during these times of trial, in our actions, might cause others to step back and wonder, "Why are you not alarmed?" You know, that might be a very good time to introduce the gospel. I had the wonderful privilege today of joining about 30 of our missionaries around the world via Zoom, video broadcasting, as they came together to worship and in times of prayer, and they are concerned. But one of the things they kept repeating over and over, the prayer was, "Lord, use us during this time, that this might be a time we can introduce the gospel." So when non-believers see believers acting in a peaceful, calm way, they may ask, why do you do what you do? Why are you not afraid? Well, there is an aspect of fear, but I believe in the power of God in all situations, and I find peace in that. And so I turn and ask them, how about you? Where do you find your peacefulness in times like this? Our sense of peacefulness in times like this is not natural to the outside world, and it will draw attention. So be ready to share the gospel. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we learn that we do not grieve the way the world grieves. Now, Paul is speaking directly to the passing of loved ones or passing of those in our church body, but we can take this same principle and apply it to our actions during the difficult times of trials. We do not mourn or grieve as the way the world grieves. We do not act as the way the world acts during these difficult times. We do not act the way the world does in the panic of these things. Our response to trial should make us peculiar when compared to the world. Along with the concern and even the tears, there should be a confidence that reflects that we know that God is in control of these things. And our actions toward that outside world should cause us to look differently. That confidence should cause us to look differently. I was reading of a virus this week that broke out back in the 3rd century in Rome. Some 5,000 people daily died from the outbreak. People were leaving the city in droves. They were disowning everything they had and just running from the city. Many were leaving loved ones alone in the home to die, the story goes. Even some were being left in the streets to die as these non-believers, these pagans, ran away from this virus that broke out in the 3rd century. However, the Christians who lived in the city of Rome during this time, they stayed. They remained in the city, risking their own lives to care for those who were ill. Their actions showed them to be different, and it drew attention by many. We have something similar today by many of our health professionals, our firemen, our policemen, doing this thing, standing on the front line, giving themselves to the attention of those who need medical and rescue aid. The Christian is to live in the strong confidence that God is indeed in control, and we are to sacrificially love just as He loved us, even to the point of risking our lives if necessary. This attitude that we're speaking of, yes, it's undergirded by the Holy Spirit, but we're speaking of a choice made by the Christian. I choose joy in all occasions. Now, joy is not happiness. It's that state of mind. And that state of mind is the confidence living in that God is in control of these things. And so I ask the question, in this time, will I trust God and His promises or not? In this unknown, will I trust Him or not? It's a choice. And James says it is our faith that is being tested. You see, we do not know if our faith is genuine until it stands up under that fiery trial, as Peter spoke of. One author writes, afflictions teach us. The school of the cross is a school of light. It shows us more of our own hearts. Trials are to the soul as a soaking rain to the house. You don't know there is a leak until it rains. We really don't know the strength of our faith until it rains or in this time of trial. Today, these are times of testing for us. So how are we doing? How are we holding up under the pressure? How are we holding up of the barrage of information and hysteria and all the news coming in? How are we holding up under the pressure of the trials we face today? You see, it's easy to say, I trust God. Anybody can do that. But the test of your faith is when you really do choose to trust God in that severe trial. And afterwards, you know that your faith is genuine because God has brought you through that trial. But the point of it is when you face that trial, you have a choice. Will I trust God and the promises of His Word and the power of the Spirit to lead me or not? To trust God and His experience, His hope and joy in the midst of the trial is the attitude that James is teaching. To trust God and experience His hope and joy in the midst of the trial. Consider it all joy, my brothers, sisters, when you meet trials of various types. Now let's add to that. During the trials, we should understand a reassuring truth, and that is that God is sovereign and He has control of all of this, as we've said. Remember our teaching from the Westminster Confession of Faith? It says, from all eternity, by the completely wise and holy purpose of His own will, God has freely and unchangeably ordained whatever happens. Folks, that includes this virus. He has ordained whatever happens. This implies that God is using this trial for His purposes. Scripture is clear that God is sovereign over everything, from the birth of a child to the passing of a germ that causes us to be sick. From the storms that pass by, that wreck our landscape, tear down our homes, to the passing of a loved one. He is sovereign over what is happening in China right now, over what is happening in Italy right now, as the number of casualties in Italy has now exceeded China. He is also very sovereign over what is going on here in the United States. We may not understand His ways, but let us not question His ways. Because He is using all of these things to bring about the desires that He has for us. Imagine, if you will, this picture. A huge, great orchestra is spread out across the stage, and one gentleman stands up, young lady stands up and takes the pedestal. It is the orchestra conductor. And with the raising of his hand and his small white baton, the conductor leads all the differing instruments, across the stage to produce that beautiful music that we hear. All of them sounding perfectly under the direction of the conductor. God is as well leading all things just as a conductor. But not all things just today, yesterday. But all things down through history past, all things down through our days of our lives and down through the future yet which faces us, all of this is being brought about. It is the same in the trials we find ourselves in today. God is orchestrating all these things. Who knows? Who knows what God might be doing, what God is doing behind the scenes? How many may come to know Jesus as Lord because of the trials we face today? Are we praying for that? Dear Lord, show Yourself to those who are in fear. Show Yourself to those who have lost hope. Bring them close and dear to You. And if I might be that instrument that You use to bring them to You, then let that be the case. And all this testing brings about strength and endurance in the Christian of which James speaks of. Once again, verses 3 and 4. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect. That word, steadfastness, it's not a word we use often, but that word can be further understood by using words like patience and endurance. The man who is patient is one who is not easily provoked during the times of trial. And the one who endures is the one who does not lose heart under the strain of the day. From 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, endure, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Folks, our time here spent in quarantine or following different routines, our labor is not in vain. Let us show forth the confidence and strength in the Lord. Our weathering the trials, it's not in vain. Back in my days with Duke Energy, I would teach some brief courses on metallurgy. And so we dealt a lot with the metals and compositions. And the testing by trials can be compared to the processing of metals. Metals are refined using different processes to create a strength, and a strength that can be depended on when that metal is placed in service. The different contents in the metal, such as iron and different alloys, etc., increase its strength and durability. And then the manufacturing process itself, as the metals are heated and cooled to different degrees, increases its strength to different hardness and durability. So it is with the Christian. The content within us, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, leads us to be stronger in the trials, leads us to be stronger in the service of which God has placed us. The trials, the heating and the cooling, if you will, God uses to strengthen our faith. So when we encounter trials, we should have the attitude of counting it all joy. We should understand the reassuring truth that our sovereign God is using this trial to develop an enduring faith. And then we find in this short passage that I've read that there is an outcome, a goal that James, the Holy Spirit, has for us. And we find it in verse 4, and I'll read all of verse 4 this time. It said, "Let steadfastness have its full effect," and that full effect is "that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Let steadfastness have its effect. That word "let," to say that I let means to allow someone to do something, to give them permission. So we must let steadfastness of God, the steadfastness of God, give us the strength to endure. Again, the choice. Now, all of this does not mean to passively endure the trial. Yes, we learn, but we're also to pray for relief. We pray for relief from this virus. But Lord, teach us through this time. We are to pray for relief. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. Paul prayed that God would remove his thorn. And so we pray, let steadfastness have its full effect. That full effect is maturity. That full effect is maturity. The full effect of the trial is to mature the Christian. James says to endure so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, please know, perfect does not mean without error. It means to be mature. It means to be perfected in the ways of Christ. So the trial comes perfecting us. And this perfection is the desire of our Lord for each of us. And this is why James can say, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you meet trials of various types, because this trial is going to grow you into the maturity that Jesus Christ desires. Is that not all our desires? Is that we would, through our lives, through sanctification, be strengthened and have the character, the maturity of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. So again, yes, we today are facing one of those various trials that is hard for us to explain. We are experiencing things today none of us have experienced before, some like similar, but not this. So we are to now more than ever lean on the everlasting arms of our Lord and grow in character like Him. So what is our attitude during this trial? Worry? Over-exaggeration? Or are we cavalier, thinking it's no big deal? Our attitude should be that James gives us here, and that we are to count it all joy because it's growing us in Christ, to be steadfast, enduring with wisdom and clear thinking, and let the trial grow and strengthen our faith just as the Lord desires. Yes, brothers and sisters, we face uncertain times, but let us not react as the world reacts. Let us have the attitude of Christ. And just as Jesus did in that Garden of Gethsemane, He knew that cross was before him, but he prayed to his Father, if that be thy will, let this pass. And we pray, Father, if it be thy will, let this virus pass even today. But above all things, your will be done. In Jesus' name, we give this sermon. Amen and amen. Now, brothers and sisters, hear the benediction. May the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the power and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours this day and forevermore. Amen and amen.